Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon lesson comes from today's gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some hesitated, because they were uncertain. Jesus approached and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and gather disciples from all nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to keep all the instructions I have given you. And surely I am with you always, until the end of the age." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. In the name of Christ Jesus, my dear fellow disciples, if you had to pick the qualities that would make a perfect leader, which qualities would you pick? Perhaps you might be thinking of somebody in your life that has modeled good leadership qualities, a teacher that has inspired you, parents that have guided you, a manager that would sit and listen to you. Or you might be a step ahead of me this morning. Given the text we just read, you might be thinking, well, Jesus was an excellent leader. The world would be a much better place if more people could lead like our Savior. And that's not wrong at all. But it's not just our Savior's great leadership qualities that we celebrate today. We celebrate our whole Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who all act as our perfect leader. There's many reasons that the Bible gives us to rejoice in our perfect leader that we have in our Trinity. But here today, we can see that he instructs us clearly, and he also goes with us on our task. And I'd imagine it must have been hard for the disciples in this time, a little bittersweet, to know that your Savior was leaving physically for the last time. Now, granted, they had all the assurance that he would never leave them, that he would always be with them, but it must have been hard to get used to the idea that soon they would not be able to actually hear the words spoken from their Savior's mouth, to actually see him face to face on a day-to-day basis. But Jesus doesn't spend these last weeks and right before his ascension in only tearful, sentimental goodbyes. He still acts as their leader. He still gives them a task, something to carry out in their lives on this earth. And what's really interesting about it is, when you look at it, how simple the command is. Don't get me wrong, it is a daunting task to go out to the world and preach the Lord's gospel. But look at the command in its simplicity. Go and gather disciples from all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Clear and simple, really. Go and gather fellow brothers and sisters into the family of God by simply sharing the word, washing them with water in the name of the triune God. It's that easy, should we say. Which is kind of refreshing, because we're used to things being complicated in this life here on earth. We ourselves sometimes like to overcomplicate things. But this is all our Lord requires. He doesn't require us to teach some complicated secret handshake. He doesn't require people to go on a vague soul-searching journey for some undetermined amount of time to go find the Lord. He doesn't require us to seclude ourselves away from any other human beings, not because of a virus, but so we can spend it in prayer and meditation. Our Lord gives us a simple command to wash with water and use the word. And I would say that issuing such a command like that is a quality of a good leader. Somebody who is able to delegate to those under them in a way that doesn't really warrant a whole lot of further explanation. Something like that is certainly noticeable in good leaders, and the lack of that quality is also extremely noticeable in maybe not so qualified leaders. And I'd say we're fairly used to the idea of maybe not having the best leaders leading over us. Because it would seem that for every excellent teacher or coach that we have had in our lives that have motivated us to better ourselves and to push ourselves, We've also had the occasional manager who would rather hide their commands behind some sort of riddle, or even worse, maybe just expect us to read their minds. But we don't have to do that. Under the rule of our almighty and saving perfect leader, there's no guesswork involved here. And it's been that way even while Jesus was on the earth with his disciples. He told his disciples to meet him on the mountain. There they went to the mountain, and there he was. And there he told his disciples, and by extension us, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the triune God. Also, pretty simple when you look at it, because when you think about it, the guesswork has been taken out. A lot of other Christian denominations would like to say that the judgment call is up to us on something, but there's no distinction of age, race, nationality in the words all nations. God's prerequisite for needing to be baptized is you have to be a person. That's all we see here. And Jesus also instructed his disciples and us to instruct these newly baptized disciples with the word, teaching them to obey everything that has been instructed us. How convenient, since we now have a collection of everything our Lord has taught us in the Bible. We don't have to make anything up. All the stories, all the excellent illustrations, all the genuine truths of our faith are right there for us to teach other nations. Our Lord sets up this task rather simply for us, as hard as the world and the devil may make it. But don't we find ourselves sometimes acting like the small handful of disciples on that mountaintop, the ones who hesitated? Because when we look at the grand picture of all of it, the whole, like the big picture idea, we look in on ourselves and we start to ask some questions, such as, who are we? Who are we to tell others to obey the instruction of our Lord that has been given to us in his word when we ourselves don't have the greatest track record of obeying that word? Who are we to claim that we have something better waiting for us at the end of this life? Because it certainly doesn't feel like we have earned it. Especially not when we look every day at the fact that our Lord has set the bar at holy perfection. Sometimes we just have a hard time meeting the world's shaky and ever-changing standard of being a good person. Who are we to take a part in this noble and holy task of gathering disciples into the Lord's flock? Who are we? We are baptized children of God. Through the knowledge that has been given to us, we realize that we are a fearfully and wonderfully made creation of a wise and loving Father in heaven. We are redeemed and holy saints through the innocent blood that was shed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are those in possession of a treasure far more valuable than anything this world could ever offer us in the faith that has been given to us by our Lord, the Holy Spirit. When we feel like we aren't up to this task, our Lord assures us in his word that we are so much more than our sins make us out to be. We are up to the task because we're forgiven. We're loved. We go out and preach this message of salvation to others, knowing full well that this message of salvation certainly already applies to us. And thanks be to our loving and perfect leader that he doesn't just send us out with this one simple task. He also promises to go with us. And that starts from the moment of our baptism, even. When Jesus instructed his disciples here, he didn't tell them to just pour water on somebody, say, woohoo, you're a Christian now, good luck. He told his disciples to baptize in the name of the triune God. Wash away that person's sins and write on their heart the name and the knowledge of the one who has saved them. This is so much more than the Lord just sticking some kind of sign outside your heart that says property of the Holy Trinity. This is the Lord working in your life and changing you in the best way possible. Because through those waters of holy baptism, Our gracious Father now looks down at you and sees only holy perfection, even though we may not feel that holy perfection. Through the waters of holy baptism, our Savior has entered our hearts, robing us with that righteousness that he so dearly earned for us in his life on this earth. In the waters of holy baptism, the Holy Spirit has also made our hearts a welcome home, giving us not only the faith to believe these things, but also the love and the motivation to live out our lives, continuing to glorify God for all to see. We have changed in such a major way in baptism, when God has adopted us into his family. And yet, don't you sometimes wish this change felt more drastic sometimes? Because the world and even our own sinful attitudes are really good at teaching us that if you want change to be truly known in your life, it has to have some constant, visceral, emotional effect in your life. And when it comes to our relationship with God, in all honesty, some days we are very blessed to feel that connection on an emotional level. Some days we are genuinely filled with joy to come to the Lord's house, to hear the Lord's word. Some days we genuinely cannot wait to bring our thoughts and prayers before our Lord, eager to tell him about what's going on in our lives, eager to ask him for anything in his name, and knowing that he will listen to us. But maybe other days, most days even, we don't feel that huge change that has happened in our lives. We don't feel that excitement to listen to the Lord's word. Our sinful hearts have turned us away, thinking that we're too busy to come to our Lord in prayer. And when we remove ourselves from that comfort, we have a tendency to turn back to the ways of the world, to turn back to the comforts that the world would offer us, and we swallow them whole sometimes. Whether it's comforts to be found in our material possessions or our relationships or our achievements. And when we get there, we turn back to the comforts of the world. We think we'll try and find peace with that, but the devil has a way of turning that peace into guilt. Because we'll turn back to the instruction of our Lord, and we'll see that we have not done a good job of obeying the Lord's instructions. Our actions and words in this life have not done the Holy Spirit any favors in going and gathering disciples. And the guilt is intense. Do we still deserve the right to say we can participate in this task? Do we still deserve the Lord's love? Do we still deserve his forgiveness? Thanks be to our Lord that he is always there with us to answer those questions with a resounding yes, my child, you are loved, you are forgiven. Because our Lord is so much greater than sin, death, and the devil. Our sinfulness does not undo the grace that is in our holy baptism. As long as there is faith within us to believe, no matter how small, no matter how big, our sinful natures do not turn our Father away. Our Lord remains firm with his solid declaration. This child has been baptized into my name, therefore they remain mine. And as if having the name of the Holy Trinity, the one true God written on our hearts, was not enough at our baptisms, Jesus gives us more simple words of assurance here. Surely I am with you always, until the end of the age. Your Lord goes with you in all that you do. You are not alone in anything. In my life, I've always held to the belief personally that the best leaders I have had and served under were those who could lead from the front by example, who would go along with as we accomplish tasks, showing us the way to do things and helping us out. And our Lord, our perfect leader, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, does all that and so much more. He promises never to leave us. He promises to go with us. He promises to love us, to forgive us, to guide us with his word, to motivate us, to stoke that fire of faith within our hearts. our Lord, our perfect leader, does not sit back at some desk up in heaven, watching things unfold as we make our own way of it. He goes along with us, guiding us, as any perfect leader would. We are certainly so blessed in our lives as Christians, under our perfect leader, the Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because many people, us included in this life, know what it's like to have a leader who might not have a grounded foundation, a leader who might not be the best at guiding us. Worldly leaders may fail us from time to time. They're imperfect human beings like us. But thanks be to our almighty, loving, perfect Lord that He is always there, going with us, to instruct us on our clear mission and to guide us as we go about our tasks, never leaving us every step of the way. Amen.